This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Brothers and sisters, we have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are alive, and it is, for many people listening here live, it is the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. If we make it to the day of Arafah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us life to that day, let us take full advantage of that blessing, because there are many blessings and tests that people are given that they fail. They deprive themselves of a certain thing. And so I'll start off by actually sharing a short report. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah records this, that a Jewish man once came to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and he spoke to him, and it was a longer narration, but to summarize, he said to him, there's a particular verse, an ayah in your book which you recite. If it had come to us, meaning the Jewish community, we would have taken that day as a day of festivities, Eid. Umar radiallahu anhu said, which ayah? He said, today I have perfected for you, al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam adina. Today I have perfected for you your religion and completed upon you my blessing, and I have chosen for you Islam as your religion. Umar radiallahu anhu said, we surely know that day and the place where it was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was standing at Arafah on a Friday. Imagine the feeling of the companions thinking back on that day. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, it was a very dark and heavy day for the Ummah. Many eyes were shedding tears, hearts were moved. It was a very dark and difficult day. When a beloved passes away, depending on how much you loved that person, the memories of what they said and did start to come back to you. You start to see things and remember them. You start to see certain places or certain things that they liked or spoke about or commented on. Something reminds you of them. May Allah have mercy on all of our loved ones who passed away before us. Imagine, he stood there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was standing on the day of Arafah and he said that. And if the one who departed is also a messenger, the role model for all of mankind, then those memories become even more precious and important to hold on to. If your heart today wishes to have been with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't we all say we love, we wish to have been there, we love the idea of having lived with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, experienced life with him, and of course with that all of the great difficulties and struggles of the early Muslims, then it's important that we at least follow what he taught. If we're sincere in our claim of love, what he taught and what he conveyed of the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the companions a very powerful reminder that day. It was so powerful, many of them who reported this said, we were crying. Many of them said it was a very strong admonishment. And he reminded the listeners of many things. If we compile all of the authentic reports about the farewell sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find so many amazing gems, that each of which could be an entire seminar. Amongst them, of course, is the need for people to get closer to their Creator, our need and our reliance upon Him. Prepare for your meeting with Allah. He reminded them of the importance of unity in Islam and not dividing. He reminded them of the importance of brotherhood and how sacred the honor of a believer is. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reminded the companions as well, and those who were with him on the plains of Arafah, of the rights of women. This is a time in which women had no rights. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the revelation of Allah, was in a way aggressively reforming all of that in society, that they have rights upon you as well. Yes, you know you have rights upon them. They have rights upon you as well. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reminded the companions that we are all the children of Adam, alayhi salam, and no one is superior to anyone else based on your skin color, your lineage, or anything else. Rather, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. As Allah tells us, the most honorable amongst you are those who have the most God-consciousness, taqwa. The day of Arafah is a very precious day, the greatest day of the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by this day. There's an oath, a qasam in the Qur'an. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. By the sky containing constellations, and by the promised day, and by a witness, and the one that is witnessed. What is this referring to? At-Tirmidhi reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, regarding these ayat from the opening of Surah Al-Buruj, Surah 85, the promised day, Yawm al-Maw'ud, is the day of resurrection. Allah swears by the day of judgment. The one that is witnessed, Mashhud, is the day of Arafah. And the witness, Shahid, is Friday. This day that we are about to experience tomorrow, the day of Arafah, is both a Jum'ah and a Friday. The Prophet ﷺ said, the sun does not rise or set upon a day that is more virtuous than it, than the day of Arafah. In it is a moment in which a believing servant does not make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something good, except that Allah will respond to that person. And that person does not seek refuge from any evil thing, except that Allah will grant them refuge. This is a blessing of blessings for us to make it to the day of Arafah. If you make it to that day, if Allah grants us life, remember and acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an opportunity that is so rare. Meaning in terms of the number of days of the year, this is the greatest single day. Despite our sins, despite all of our shortcomings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with this opportunity. It is a day of immense forgiveness. And there's no day on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees more people from the fire than on the day of Arafah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws near to his servants and speaks to the angels in one of the reports, and he says to them, what do my servants want? What do you want on the day of Arafah? Do you want some of the mercy of Allah? Do you want some change in your life? Do you want to feel better about who you are? Do you want forgiveness for your sins? Do you want some goodness in this life and the next? Do you want a hardship to be alleviated? Do you want shifa from an illness? Do you want success, victory for the ummah? What is it that you want? The best of dua is dua on the day of Arafah. Now, sometimes what we emphasize, and for me, this has been my annual experience for the last 7-8 years or so, aside from, of course, the pandemic years, was the experience of being with a group, right? The Hajj groups that you heard about earlier, referenced earlier. And usually the thought process there is very different because you're there in person. But we used to always remind people who are not there on social media, in person, other places, that Arafah is not just for the pilgrims at Hajj. Of course, there's the sanctity of the place and there's the standing on the day of Arafah. And it is the crux of the entirety of Hajj. The entirety of Hajj relies upon Arafah, right? Al-Hajj Arafah, as the Prophet ﷺ said. But we always remind people, the blessings that we are talking about and the dua that you make and people being saved from the fire, it's not just for the Hujjah, it's not just for the pilgrims. It is for Muslims all over the world. It is for those who feel like they are struggling. It's not just for the saints or the most righteous of people. No, rather, it is for the sinner. It is for the one who's struggling. It is the one who is far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for you to turn to him. Do not deprive yourself on that blessed day. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his farewell sermon is giving advice to the companions and in a way to everyone else that will hear about the sermon, will hear about the final speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until the end of times. When we talk about the day of Arafah, we talk about making dua. We talk about emptying your heart out into your dua. Speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you feel weak, if you feel lazy, at least raise your hands. Say, Ya Allah, I'm feeling lazy. I'm feeling weak. So help me, aid me, strengthen me. Ya Allah, protect me. You know, this Arafah and Jumu'ah could be our last. Can you imagine the one who was with us last Arafah and they departed? May Allah have mercy on them, our brothers and sisters who departed before us. Imagine they could give you advice, one piece of advice about the day of Arafah tomorrow. Like something you should know, something you should pay attention to. Imagine that. What would they tell you? Perhaps what they'll say is, do not deprive yourself. Do not miss out. Take advantage. Push yourself. It's not going to be easy. You have many responsibilities. You have family. You have children. Take advantage of the day of Arafah. This is the ultimate day of the year. Do not deprive yourself. There was a brother years ago, as soon as the group returned back here to Michigan from Hajj, I think the day after they returned, he had a heart attack and he passed away. May Allah have mercy on him. The very last thing that he did was experience this wonderful act of worship, this remarkable journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hope, we pray that maybe he died with a clean slate. And it was just shortly after this magnificent act of worship. On the day of Arafah itself, we had a brother in my group. And subhanAllah, he fell ill, he's much older. He fell ill to the extent that eventually he started falling unconscious. And there was no medic nearby. We waited for a while and eventually a medic made it. And the brother was crying. He said, I just want to be able to make dua on this day. I just want my Hajj to be accepted. I just do not want to miss the next stages of Hajj. He's like, that's all that I want. And alhamdulillah, you know, he made dua, made dua, made dua in and out of consciousness. It was very difficult for him in terms of his health. He lived, alhamdulillah, and he made a lot of dua. And he took advantage when we looked back at it after Hajj ended. He said, I'm so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my dua on the day of Arafah, even though I felt like my health should have failed me, my dua was responded to. That, ya Allah, I just want to make it to the end of Hajj. Ya Allah, grant me shifa. So you don't know what your last opportunity will be. What can you do so that you are not wasting your time on the day of Arafah? Brothers and sisters, wherever you are, whether you have the ability to go to a masjid, an Islamic center, or you are within your home, regardless of where you are, take advantage especially of the second half of the day. And by the second half, I don't mean to slack off with the first, but rather take advantage in a very practical way by going to a quiet place, either in your home, in the masjid, if possible. If you have children and you can multitask, try to take some time, 15, 20 minutes at a time, to make dua and just reflect. Quiet time between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just making dua. It does not have to be loud, it just has to be sincere, it has to be on the tongue, raise your hands, face the qibla if you can, make wudu, you know, the etiquettes of dua, and start with istighfar. Start with asking Allah for forgiveness. If you want to take one of the lessons of the day of the farewell speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is a summary of Islam, that you have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for well-being, not just for yourself, but for the people around you. Some of the early Muslims, in the first generations, some of them would go to the masjid, and this was reported about Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and they would go to the masjid after Asr prayer on the day of Arafah until Maghrib, and they would make dua or worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have specifics about the reports of people doing this collectively, but they did go to the masjid. Some of the scholars said it is permissible because of that, that if you want to go to the masjid and spend some time there, consider it, you know, i'tikaf. It's not a specified sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in terms of doing anything in particular, but making dua. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is generous, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to turn to Him. One of the tricks of shaitan is to make people feel like they are too distant, like they're too bad, like they have so much guilt and shame that they shouldn't turn to Allah, when in fact that's a trick of shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tell you to lose hope. He tells you the opposite. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not lose hope. Mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. So do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all sins, but you have an action item here, which is that you ask Allah for forgiveness, that you turn to Him first. Your heart is there. Your remorse is there. Don't think about the sin being minor. Don't think about the sin being one that is normalized in society. Rather, think about the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine your meeting with Allah and how you look back on the days of Arafah. Every Arafah that you had in your life, how many do you think you'll have in total? For some people, maybe it was 100 Arafahs. For others, maybe 60. And for some, it might have been only 30, especially in the adult years of your life. 30 Arafahs total that you took advantage of. This is not like the Laylatul Qadr. This is not like the last 10 days of Ramadan. You have the greatest 10 days of the year and the day of Arafah specified. And it is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's a wisdom in both. For the day of Arafah, there's a mercy in knowing which day it is. And so take advantage of this day, brothers and sisters. Don't forget to make dua for others around you as well. And wherever you are in the world is the time that you should take advantage of. So your Arafah is not based off of people 12 hours ahead or 10 hours ahead or 5 hours behind. It's where you are. Take advantage of the time of from Dhuhr all the way on tomorrow's Jumu'ah until Maghrib time, and fluctuate and come back to it and multitask, make dua, do other things, dhikr, Quran, and all of that. You know what you need to do practically speaking, but push yourself to take advantage, inshallah ta'ala. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us, as we gather in different places around the world for Jumu'ah prayer, for the Hujjaj on the plains of Arafah, for Maghrib, as you break your fast, if you're fasting tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, because there's a magnificent reward, if you are able to, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to gather on the day of judgment in a good standing, safe and secure, happy, with no sadness, in a state of optimism, because we worked hard during this life. Jaza'an bima kanu ya'malun. Let's work hard, let's push ourselves. We can, inshallah ta'ala, take advantage of the day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you and us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for all of our shortcomings and allow us to leave the day of Arafah with pure hearts and a clean slate. Allahumma ameen. Wa salli lahum ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.